Here we go. It's Hour 5 of the Nation here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Sports Hodgepodge coming up in 20 minutes. Then Fred and Blake will be in. We'll hand it over to The Fan After Dark coming up at 7 o'clock. Here's Wolchek with that prop round trip.
Let's do it. Let's go around the bases right after this.
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing. High drive! It's tied!
Well, the Rangers tried to tie it in the top of the ninth today. Just didn't go their way. 4-2. They lose the series to Miami, and now it's a big one, boys, as they will hit the halfway point tomorrow. As they go to Toronto, Toronto is a game and a half up on them for the third and final wild card spot right now. But again, it's like deja vu. Midway through the season, and the big issue is the offensive production. Rangers had two solo homers today, Jock Peterson and Wyatt Langford. They were 0 for 1 with runners in scoring position. They were 2 for 17 overall in the series. They're 6 for 32. Since Friday night's first inning when they rallied to score 6 runs against the Padres. So this offense continues to just be like, all right, you get it once a week. They'll kind of show you, hey, we're here. And then the majority of the time it's, yeah, we're streaking up 2 runs, maybe a solo homer here and there. But overall, it's bad. According to Baseball Reference, the Rangers are 10% below league average when it comes to getting runners on the bases. With 2 runs on Wednesday, the Rangers' runs per game have dropped from now to under 4, which is the 4th worst in Major League Baseball. And that's even with getting Jock Peterson turning the corner. That's Wyatt Langford now starting to get hot. That's Josh Young and Ezekiel Durant for much of the season being really good. But the problem is they're just not getting people hot at the same time. You don't have that connected chain up and down the lineup where guys are just kind of feeding off one another. And I don't know that that's ever going to change. I mean, I think that this offense and this lineup just kind of is and who they are. But with all that being said, they're still in a great position. If they can go to Toronto, they could be leaving in the postseason if they can take care of business against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think they go into tonight's action 3 games back of the division lead. So yeah. Mariners are underway against the Pirates right now, and they lead. So we'll be scoreboard watching a little bit there. But, yeah, you know, I think one way or another we're going to get closure on this in the next 5 weeks, Wolchek. Either they're going to spit the bit and necessitate some heavy selling off, or they'll rally and get us excited about adding 2 bats. Because I think there is an end in sight if you would get aggressive, and they have the resources to do that, both with prospects and room under the luxury tax threshold.
Well, speaking of prospects, they have called up today Winston Santos, who is their 5th overall prospect, as they are now in an issue with their arms. You know, when you have Jack Leiter going down, he's going to miss a few months. Now they're kind of struggling to find, all right, who's going to fill that spot. And Santos had not really been pitching very well at
Frisco. I saw his ERA was over 7.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 1-2 or something.
11
like that.
Starts. Yeah, it was not good. So it's like, ooh, that's who you're calling up. You're really kind of in a world of hurt right now.
They're now in the spot where the Cowboys were with their defensive backs at the end of training camp last year. Yeah. That if there's anybody that has never played in the NFL that would like to, we're open for business.
Does this sound terrible to do, but does our boy Latz become a starter now?
It's a good idea. Is he still stretched enough?
He could. I think that he's just become so valuable in that role. I don't know that they would move him. But yeah, I mean, in an emergency situation.
I mean, I feel like that him being a starter, at least it gives you that, you know, it's not like throwing somebody out there and all of a sudden.
No, it does. I mean, I guess Cal Quantrill, you know, has an option. Marco Gonzalez, they just signed to a minor league deal. How quickly can they get him going? Monty in a few weeks can get revved back up. But I think that they're looking at probably keeping Latz there because they're really trying to push the all-star game for him.
And when they tried Latz as a starter, it didn't go well at the end of spring. So you could try him as starter again and end up not having a good 5th starter no leverage arm.
I didn't remember him being bad, but if that's the case.
He's been great when it's like day of the game, now he's got a pitch. It's
crazy.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, what we'll do is we'll just act like we won't tell him.
Yeah. Just, hey, Jacob, you're starting.
On the bus on the way over. Hey, Latz, you're going to start today.
Okay, guys.
Okay, good deal.
Six shutout innings. Yeah. You know, he's got the ability. I love Jacob Ladds. But, yeah, I think with them kind of pushing this all-star narrative for him, which he's deserving. I mean, right now what he's done with four-plus out saves, I mean, he's going to end up breaking the major league record for the last 5 years. I mean, Rangers record, 100% he's going to break. He's one back from it already. Nine, I think, is the record. He's at eight this year. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to move him, but it's weird. I mean, just when you think, like, okay, your rotation's humming along, you have a big injury like that, and now you're kind of in a setback mode. And I think that's probably another reason why Jacob deGrom didn't go another inning today, and they kind of kept him at six.
Well, if I know anything about my guy CY, he's probably trying to trade for another top-of-the-rotation starter.
Okay, so how mad would the fan base be? I mean, seriously, because I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm joking.
Kind of half joking.
Yeah.
Because he's done that now McKenzie. The last 2 years.
Yeah. I think they would be livid. You know, I was trying to think of how I would feel about it. You're kind of playing the long game. Like, we're going to make sure we're constantly taking every opportunity we can to get starting pitching, and eventually our offense will be top 10 again.
Eventually it's going to happen, right? They're going to click into form. They're fine. They got this. Man, how about Chaz Chisholm just trolling all the haters? Yankees are down 4-1 in the fifth inning. Who's up to bat? Chaz Chisholm. What does he do? Hits a home run and then goes straight to the dugout, and he's just showing off the lollipops. Go ahead in the top of the sixth inning, 2-run homer against the Tigers. Go ahead, and here's Chaz Chisholm after all of Major League Baseball talking about you can't be playing in the infield with a lollipop in your mouth. It's dangerous, okay? We can't be doing that. And here he is just rubbing it in everyone's faces, and I think his manager's pretty fed up with him right now.
Yeah, he said he was ticked off, and I guess he didn't see it happen in real time.
Gosh.
Do you guys ever – you're way too young for this. There's a thing called safety suckers.
What are safety suckers?
Safety suckers?
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, like as a kid, it's kind of a rope.
I'm seeing
like,
those.
And if you bump into something, they go flat.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like if you had a Tootsie Pop.
So you could play
with
a safety sucker.
Yeah, with a safety sucker. He could probably use that if he wanted to.
All right.
Because he was using the hazardous suckers.
Yeah, he was using the one where if you fall down, that thing's,
Did you guys think big deal or not a big deal? Morning Show is kicking this around. Bobby was like, I don't see the issue with it.
It's a little unprofessional.
I mean, it does look silly.
Yeah, it looks extremely silly.
Possible safety concern.
But I guess just like knowing who the player is, like to me, like he's been doing bits all year. He's picking up Aaron Judge's bat and hitting a homer with it. He's wearing Giancarlo Stanton's pants to get out of a slump that are two sizes too big for him. Yeah. Like, this is just Chaz Chisholm. He's a showman.
Is this kind of gesture gooning?
He's definitely gesture gooning, 100%. This is the definition of gesture gooning.
Now, did you call him Chaz?
Yeah.
I think it's Jazz.
Jazz?
Yeah.
I think I just naturally say Chaz.
Yeah.
Even though it is Jazz.
It is Jazz.
But I just can't stop myself from saying Chaz.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a bad look.
It looks goofy.
There was a guy back in the day, and Dawson, you might remember this guy, UL Washington, played for the Kansas City Royals.
I don't remember him.
He played with a toothpick in his mouth the whole game.
Wow.
That's even more dangerous.
Yeah, that could
stab
you.
He played like shortstop, I believe, with a toothpick in his mouth.
Was it a safety toothpick?
No, it was a toothpick.
Always in? Standard?
Mm-hmm. Standard. He'd be at the plate, toothpick in his mouth. Yeah.
Man,
was he eating steak in the dugout?
Maybe in between innings he was getting like
the Al Michaels spread.
Like beef jerky stuck in his teeth or something.
Gosh.
Like that.
I
mean, my goodness.
But no, UL Washington, I believe, used to have a...
No, I got him. Yeah, he's...
Well, I have something in my teeth.
He has a toothpick in every single picture. Baseball cards.
Yeah.
Wow. That's old school.
Batting. Mm-hmm. Longtime Royal, put a little bit to the Expos.
100 players voted on the league's best and worst organizations in Major League Baseball. Which organization have bad reputations among the players? The leading vote getter with 28 votes.
Athletics.
No, they were third. It's actually a surprise. It's not a very good organization. I just didn't think they'd be the worst.
Twins, Marlins, Pirates.
Marlins are in the top five. The Pirates are two.
How about the Arizona Diamondbacks?
No, Diamondbacks were not. They did not even get a vote. Neither did the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
The Rockies.
The Rockies.
Rockies are a bad baseball team.
The Colorado Rockies, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the A's, the Chicago White Sox, the Angels, and the Marlins.
I would figure the Angels.
The leading vote getters.
Oh, yeah, the Angels would have been my first guess.
The Angels would be bad, but because of the weather is actually really good, so you probably wouldn't want to vote for them.
Yeah, was it all pitchers voting against the Rockies? Is that what it was?
Well, it's that they just think they're cheap organizations. They're like, all of these organizations are cheap as F, said one player. They have no idea how to make anyone better at anything, another pitcher said of the Angels, and that's from guys who worked there. They have no idea what's going on. Colorado has been bad for a long time, but it sounds like they might be improving now with some new people, said one American League hitter.
Yeah.
The Rockies, behind on everything analytically. I've seen the way they do things. They run their business, and they make a lot of decisions where I'm like, what are you doing? For a while, I would say for a good 10 years, they didn't have the resources in place to help players stay in the big leagues. It was kind of, okay, you're here. If you produce, you can stay. If not, next guy up. You have to have some type of resources for players to help them get through their struggles because you end up weeding out good players in regards to the Colorado Rockies.
Did they list who the best organization was?
Yes, sir, they sure did. And a runaway victory.
For the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers.
Okay. God, what am I thinking?
We spare no expense.
The Dodgers crushed. Now, the Rangers got two votes in this category.
Nice.
The Yankees were two. The Cubs were three. The Blue Jays four. The Braves at five were your top five good organizations.
Well, I should have known the Dodgers. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Not baseball guy of the day.
LA outspends everyone, but
there's
also does smarter stuff. The Dodgers have now two flights that go everywhere. Having a flight that's just players is just players is kind of fun. So they have a flight designated just for the players only. That's pretty crazy. They develop the best. They trade away all of their prospects, and then they're always a top 10 prospect organization. There's a reason for it.
So like trainers and everybody else goes on the
separate flights.
Separate flights?
Yeah. Yeah.
Genius. Yeah. Got to do that.
Comfort, baby. That's the way it goes. When it comes to the Blue Jays, who the Rangers are going to play, and they had the fourth most votes, the facilities in Toronto are crazy good. For me, where I've played, there's nowhere close to Toronto when it comes to that. Another player said their clubhouse has every bell and whistle. I heard travel for them is good, especially considering you have to cross national borders, and they do a lot to make sure their guys get paid. I've heard nothing but great things about Toronto. I didn't realize the Blue Jays was that loved or among Major League Baseball, but yeah, people are liking Toronto.
Yeah, but you think people are going up there?
I mean, they were the runner ups to get Ohtani. I mean, they did just go to the World Series, so yeah. I mean, in a sense,
I don't know, man.
A little bit because of the taxes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of like thinking like I know they lose some guys like with Bichette. They've
Vladdy,
but. I'm just kind of wondering if they ever like are people going up there and
I mean they're always kind of like in the hunt for these premier free agents,
but and it's just across the border, isn't it? It's pretty close to Buffalo, like
an
hour
drive across the across the line.
But they do have money. I mean, they're willing to throw the money around.
Rogers Place or whatever that place is called.
Yeah,
Rogers.
It's wild. Now, Major League Baseball has cleared Dodgers doctor Neil Atrash after PED linked to Conor McGregor. Did you guys see this story?
I saw it last week.
Yeah. So this is when Conor had his broken bones in his legs after he fought Dustin Poirier and his leg snapped in half. So he did take PEDs to help recover because, like, his focus was, I just need to walk again, you know. So then, obviously, once he got back healthy, he re-entered the testing protocols. Now he's good to fight. But I guess he went to the Dodgers doctor, and that's who prescribed him with these performance-enhancing drugs. But Major League Baseball went ahead and did their, you know, research into this and no harm, no foul.
Yeah, fighting seems like the easiest way to get away with performance-enhancing drug taking because you can just kind of check out, drop off the map.
Yeah.
A couple of years later, come back after your hormone levels have normalized, and you're still reaping the benefits of that added muscle mass and whatnot.
Red Sox could end up being big-time sellers here at the deadline. The players that they could be shipping out.
All of them.
Would you have interest in any of these names? We start off with a pitcher. Sonny Gray, who was pretty darn good against the Rangers.
Is he like 7-0 right now or 7-1?
8-1.
8-1,
with
okay.
With a 3.12 ERA and 13 starts. He's been pretty damn good.
What's his salary right now? Let me Google that real quick for you. He's sitting at 31 mil.
Yeah. Yep.
That seems like just CY's game.
Yep. $31 million, not it would be.
This we got 70 to spend.
Buyout, $30 million mutual option for next year.
We'll get a utility infielder and Sonny Gray.
Aroldis Chapman.
Love you, CY.
If you want to go ahead and add another reliever, bring back Aroldis.
No, thank you.
Wilson Contreras at first base. That's a potential suitor. The Rangers are listed here.
Jackson Smith Ngujuba.
He's in the fourth year of his five-year deal, $87.5 million contract that he signed with the Cardinals. He's earning $18 million this season. It goes up to $18.5 million next year.
Yes, please.
16 homers, 45 RBIs. His OPS is a 901. This could be a nice move. Wilson Contreras makes some sense. Jaron Duran is another player as an outfielder. And then Brian Bello, their right-handed
pitcher. Barack Obama.
Those are just some names. But Wilson Contreras could be one to kind of circle Ranger fans as a possible bat that you could add at the deadline.
Jaron Duran seems more realistic considering he's hitting 199.
And but, do you want two Durans on your team?
He'll fit right in.
I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed there for Mr. Contreras. Thank you, Wolchuk. What are we doing next, Eric?
Hodgepodge. Let's hear from Dusty May on the Mavs' newest lottery pick next in the nation.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Fred and Blake coming up here in Crosstalk in about 20 minutes or so. Here's the Chief with your hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. Plenty to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
I am curious, 877-881-1053, what's the dumbest way you've seen somebody kind of ruin their lives? Because we have a great example of this here in a sports-adjacent story. But I also wanted to do a tip of the cap to the gas stations right now.
Oh.
Filled up for $2.98 today.
Let's go.
Per gallon.
Hell yeah. $3, that's
when
a win.
I saw that, I put a smile on my face, dude. $2.98. We might be back.
Let's put a smile. Where'd you go? On that face.
I think it was a quick trip.
Was it quick
but
trip?
I saw 7-Eleven sitting at a 305. Okay. All right.
All right.
We can get back to manageable here.
Yeah.
I was at 550 this weekend in Los Angeles.
Oh.
550. Why is it so much more expensive?
Must be a longer boat ride.
It's crazy. Every time we go
the
out
weather.
There, I get blown away by the prices of everything, including gas. I'm like, why is there so much more expensive?
You get blown away by how great the day is and the weather and
everything except for the price is
everything
pretty,
but the gas.
Pretty awesome.
It's just such an expensive place to live.
It is.
Just because. Yeah. I mean, it's just there's too much going on out there.
Man, I was trying to cut money on this trip. So I booked a budget hotel.
Uh-oh.
Your family let you know about it, didn't they?
Oh, no.
First night we come back from dinner, there are six police cars, two gentlemen in cuffs with their girlfriends yelling at them from the front doors of their hotel rooms.
Oh gosh.
This wasn't worse than the place that you stayed in.
I ended up having to pay for two hotels.
They weren't just trying to FaceTime an NFL head coach and get out of it?
No.
Oh, man.
This wasn't like the place that Bassick, you guys were all there. That
it was very similar.
Was it
very similar.
It's like needles and things all over the floors.
We didn't see any needles. I mean, it wasn't the cleanest or the freshest smelling, but I don't need a lot. You know, give me a bed and a toilet, and that's good enough for me. But we get to the room, and Abby immediately calls Cassandra.
And Mom, then, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah, and then I was like, "Oh crap, we gotta change hotels."
Did you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, you changed.
So it's just you and Abby went on the trip, huh?
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so the Mavericks. I'll tell you what, the Mavericks are trying to bring in a championship identity.
Yeah,
it's Dusty May. It's Morez Johnson Jr. And now you have Sergio de la Rea. A 2026 ACB league champion as of today.
Nice.
As his team.
Probably hungover right now.
Is now, well, he's probably in the process of getting hammered.
Yeah.
Because he won the championship
today. That's
what I'm
saying. Yeah.
So congrats to
him. A few
hours
ahead of us. Though.
Spanish red wine and who knows what else. Just having a party. I'm a little skeptical on Spaniards. You know?
Okay.
Soft.
All right.
You know, we've seen so many.
Very broadest of him, huh?
What are we doing, dog?
Very broadest of him.
As basketball players, like you've had the Gasol brothers.
Yeah, I'm glad. Okay, say that.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my God, he's Ricky Rubio. Wow, he's going to be the Spanish Magic Johnson.
Remember Rudy Fernandez?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember
Rudy Fernandez, he's going to light it up.
The Mavs for a little bit.
He's going to shoot like 50% from three.
This is different. This is new. Okay.
I hope. You know,
this guy's going to change the narrative of the Spaniards.
There aren't a lot of like leaner guard. I guess Goran Dragic.
Yeah, Dragic.
That would be my hope.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and this guy's got the size. I mean, we were talking about the size factor earlier and how Ujiri clearly loves that. Dusty May is loving that. And this dude is pretty large. And the positional size is going to be something that's huge for them. I mean, you have Nembhard, who's 5'11". You have Kyrie at 6'2". Now you get De La Rea, 6'6".
De La Rea.
Okay. You got to roll those R's, man. That's what you got to do. So we'll see.
Can you just call him Rea? Or you have to use the
Rea.
Rea. Get over here, Rea.
But we did get some sound. This is actually from a couple of weeks ago before Dusty May officially became the Mavs head coach, and he was going on different shows.
You can't wait to get out of here.
And he was talking about, obviously, his Michigan guys that are about to be drafted. Listen to what he has to say about Morris Johnson Jr.
We had a saying before the game. If we didn't feel like we had great preparation or we didn't feel like we were in a great spot, it became a saying amongst our staff. Well, we have Rez and they don't. Like, we're not getting punked tonight. Like, we're gonna be the more physical basketball team tonight. So he did a lot for us as well.
How would you describe Morez Johnson's defense to somebody who's never seen him play?
There were times this year when I told him when he was a great defender for us, switching 1 through 5. He guarded point guards. He guarded centers. But early in the year, he was so effective on guards when they play one-on-one. He would use his length and poke the ball away from them and get steals and dunks. And late in the year, when he was playing the elite guards, he would try that, and it would be a foul or a SLD. And so he even made the adjustment then to just kind of recognize who he was guarding and just being more solid against the LeBaron Filons and forcing a difficult shot and just realizing that if they're going to have to hit shots like that over 85 possessions, we're going to be in good shape. But his ability to guard one-on-one with his size and strength on the perimeter was probably the most pleasant surprise. It allowed us to switch 1 through 5 when Adai was out of the game. And also his intelligence as far as scramming smaller guards out, fly switching. He just had a really good awareness of what was going on around him, and he had great synergy with his teammates. So I think he's another guy like Yaxel. I mean, he's ready to step in and help a good team right away, or help a rebuilding team, establish a style of play and a culture. And he checks a lot of boxes.
At 6'9", 7'4", wingspan, 250 pounds, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy that big so good at defending the point of attack. Like, the way he just gets around screens at that size, it's just mind-blowing. I cannot wait to see who NBA coaches put him on as a rookie.
Man.
So, I mean, the best player. That's like you just described
like Lou Dort plus 6 inches.
Yeah.
Lou Dort in his prime. Ron Artest plus 3 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things. Like, we were talking about getting a guard who could be a good point of attack defender, something that you need, and the Mavericks desperately needed last year. And they didn't go the guard route, but I think the versatility factor of Morris Johnson Jr. here, he will be able to provide some of that. Plus the rim protection aspect, right? You're kind of getting the best of both worlds there, where he can switch, he can fight through screens, he can guard on the perimeter, but then also he can be a dog in the paint area as well. And then you just hear him talk about Dusty May, the culture aspect. I think this is just like one of those foundational pieces of like, he represents the identity of the type of guys that we want. And yes, he's probably ultimately more of a role player than a superstar player that you would have loved to have gotten in the top 10 of a draft. And maybe he can scratch the surface of being more of a star player if he can develop the offensive game and the jump shooting in particular. But I think just defensively, you know what you're going to be getting out of this guy. And clearly Dusty May is going, this is the type of guy that I want, and it's worth it, even though maybe we reached a little bit. I don't think you could have traded down and still got him. I think the Thunder really wanted this guy.
Oh, yeah.
If you know the Thunder want him,
yeah.
That's Sam Presti's got his eyes on a guy. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly.
Defensive versatility is one of the most important things to build a contender today, because they will hunt your weakness. Mm-hmm. And he is a weakness hunter eliminator, if you will. So that's huge. His 3-point shooting is massive. I think he was 12 of 35 in his career, something like that. So it was, you know, not a horrible percentage. Can he take a lot more? You know, he's taking about, what, a half three a game or something like that in his two seasons of college basketball. But I guess my final point would be, he's describing what Tyson Chandler did for the 2011 Mavs as far as being an enforcer, an intimidator.
Yes.
If you're going to beat us, you got to get through me kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he's just, super athletic. Super athletic. He's just as big as Bam, but he's quicker.
Mm.
And he just he plays with a tenaciousness. And that's something about Cooper Flagg, too, just like the intensity and the way that he competes. I think you've now added another guy just like that. And so, again, I think he will be a guy that Mavs fans will end up loving just with the motor and the effort that he plays with and the defensive type of plays that he will make. And as an offensive rebounding machine, like, he just embraces the dirty work of being one of those kind of players.
And it sounds like he's a freight train in transition.
He is.
Like, he's going to give you some offense there.
100% he will.
Yeah, I think they just need to find another, like, real backcourt player that can play the two along with Kyrie Irving and allow them to push the pace. Because with Flagg and Johnson now, mm-hmm. And then, you know, if Lively comes back, you're going to have a number of young guys who can really get up and down the court. Nobody will want to get in front of them when they go to finish.
Okay, so crazy ways that people have ruined their lives. And we'll see if this ultimately ends up being the life ruiner. But it's certainly a bump in the road here for the Knicks fan, Lucius, that you pointed out the other day.
Dang, man.
The trash can lady.
Snitches.
Okay. She is seen on video during the parade or shortly thereafter the other day. Giant Knicks fan, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
She is dumping out a New York City trash can. Disgusting in every way, but it's recently been painted orange and blue Knicks colors.
Yeah.
Okay. This is your standard trash can that is on the sidewalk always, and they just painted it. Okay. This is as disgusting of a trash can as you could possibly imagine. This wasn't some fun, oh, we just added a brand new trash can and it's Knicks. No, they took an old trash can, painted it Knicks colors, and this lady dumped out all the trash, carried it with her onto the subway and back home to the house. She goes viral because of it. Then we find out today she worked for JP Morgan,
yeah.
And they have since bleep canned her.
Hit the road, Jack.
For Jacqueline, taking a garbage can?
Hit the road, Jacqueline.
For stealing the city garbage can.
Oh, she stole it.
She didn't care.
Oh, she stole it. Yeah, she's
on camera. She just dumps the trash and
championship
walks.
Euphoria, yeah. Will do that to yeah. you, man. Yeah. I mean, if they had a Rangers painted trash can during their parade, I'd have probably taken that home.
Oh, hell yeah.
After Broadus puked in it a couple of times after all the Budweiser.
I did not puke at all.
You kept that down.
I could have continued to drink if we didn't run out of beer.
That doesn't seem to be worth it for a job at JP Morgan.
No, not at all.
Maybe the inflation's getting to her.
Maybe not fire her. Where's a smack on the wrist a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
You're a thief.
It's awful punitive.
Yeah, fire somebody? Yeah.
Straight gone, dude.
I was going to say the guy who went over the waterfall at Yosemite this last weekend would take the cake for ruining his life.
Ooh.
I guess it's a thing to kind of get in that water and, like, take a picture. You're at the top. But at the top, like, just even like shin-high water could have a current to it as all that is rushing to a point and going over. It's a 600-foot drop. And apparently he and another person, a gal, were out there kind of taking pictures.
So
and
no
thinking,
barrel?
No barrel. No, this was...
Yeah.
This was
Niagara Falls, we used to do it in a barrel.
This was social media flex pictures. Look, we're beyond the fence. We're taking pictures at the top of a waterfall.
Hey,
and they both got swept.
Gosh.
Lady got saved by somebody
That's
grabbing
terrible.
A tree branch and like holding it out for her. Other dude was like, oh my goodness, I'm really about to go over this waterfall.
And die.
Yeah.
Gotcha, unbelievable, bitch. Dude.
Did I get butt cracked of the lady that they were doing the bungee and they didn't hook her up?
That was real, bro.
That's real.
They just threw her over the overhead toss, dog.
And like you see the rope and like her husband's kind of like looking down at the rope, kind of. It sounds like they've done this before.
Yeah, they're supposed to make it seem as if you're not hooked up and they're kind of throwing you over the thing.
Yeah,
but they didn't really hook her up this time.
Yeah.
They just launched a girl off a bridge.
Yeah. So bad.
So you must have felt like, oh my gosh, they're throwing me by mistake. They didn't hook me up. It's a joke. I'm bouncing now. But this,
she hit rocks, that's why I could never do something like that.
Yeah.
I could never do that bungee jump. I can't trust you guys.
You can't trust these guys.
Yeah.
Might be the carny dudes hooking you up. You know,
they were pulling bong hits 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. drinking
warm tequila out there.
Yeah.
Hit this.
They just tossed that poor lady on the side.
We're having fun here,
and
guys.
And everybody's standing around kind of like, okay, oh, whoa. Wait a minute. What happened there?
Next. Sorsby is being texted in here as stupid ways to potentially ruin your life.
Yeah.
It has ruined his football career to this point. We'll see if he can bounce back. A lot of girlfriend stuff, you know, just getting with the wrong girl can torpedo your existence in a big way. So be careful. But dumping out the trash, yeah, all the littering charges, like just the littering portion of this.
She dumped out a lot of trash.
It was
trash on a New York City street. Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
All righty. Thank you, Chief. Sports Hodgepodge is in the books here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. We'll crosstalk with the Fan after dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you next in the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation here, 105 through the Fan. It's time to hand this thing off to the Fan after dark with Fred and Blake coming up here. It's a full show tonight, 7 to 11. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Fantastic. Nice to get out at 11 o'clock tonight. We've been doing the 9 to midnight, myself and the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold. So get back on a somewhat normal sked. And, of course, you guys can appreciate, because when you get off at midnight, you would think that 1 hour wouldn't make that big of a difference. But I think I haven't gotten to bed any earlier than 2:30 the last two nights. So
yeah. Yeah, what'd we do there for a while, Lucius? I think it was 7 to midnight. To midnight with me and CA and Jeff and Lucius.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, beer run about 9.
Yeah, seriously. That's awesome. You're doing some kind of run at 9 o'clock, that's for sure.
So were you guys giving thumbs up to the draft experience last night?
You know what? So, again, CA and I were on last night, and, of course, he had just come from Mavs headquarters. And I think I was like a lot of folks where, you know, I don't think Merez Johnson was on very many people's bingo card as going 9 overall. So when you see it, you're like, all right, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the surface. Maybe they're going to move him. But then you get to thinking, well, why would you draft a Michigan guy for Dusty May just to move him later? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, after you kind of got it settled in and then you started to see how the dominoes were falling. I mean, look, Spurs add basically 2 fours, all right, in Terrace Reed and our boy Quaintance, whatever the hell his name is, from Kentucky. Shout out to our boy Sweet Willie C. So now you add depth on the front court if you're the if you're the Spurs. You add Mara if you're the Thunder, right? So now you've tried to add one more body to stop Wemby. So, I mean, it's pretty clear in the Western Conference. If you're going to, you know, the path has been set. You got to go through the Spurs. And if you're going to go through the Spurs, yes, guards help, but you got to stop the freak.
Mm-hmm. Better than Nate Ament.
Better than Nate 100%. Ament. I'm just glad that the Dallas Mavericks not do that. With Merez Johnson, I'm still kind of undecided. I'm not mad nor happy. I need to do some more research on the player. But another Michigan player in Dallas. We saw that happen the first time with the Dallas Cowboys. So hopefully better option for the Mavericks.
Do you guys think it's possible that they keep all three bigs?
No.
With that in mind?
PJ's gone. This says PJ Washington's gone.
Really?
I mean, is Merez Johnson, you want him as a backup four? Is that the plan? You draft a 9th overall for your backup power forward position?
Would it be PJ and Gafford, you think, probably as far on the way
as,
out?
Yeah. I mean, Gafford is alone as far as Merez Johnson. To me, this is the signal that PJ Washington won't be here. Unless we just drafted a guy to be PJ Washington's backup at 9th overall.
Is he the guy that you can get the most value for, you think? Other than, obviously, like, if you were trading Kyrie, but in terms of
I think Gafford, Washington, and Najee are your three most valuable.
Honestly, it's close. Like, we're splitting hairs. I think a lot of teams need a big, like a Celtics or something like that. So I think Gafford would get it. PJ is going to plug and play on any team he goes to, so that versatility will play into it, and he's got a contract. And then Clay, obviously, being an expiring contract and a shooter. So I think they all have different values. I don't know which one I would say is the highest value. PJ's young, so
Would you be willing to dance with the Lakers on a Gafford trade?
No.
That's a tough question. I think the answer is yes and no. Like, yes, the Lakers are an obvious option that would want him, and maybe you can get your draft pick back and whatnot. But as far as making the Lakers the Mavericks and making them a championship-level team, I don't know if you'd want to do that.
No, I think it'd be a stay-away, dude.
No, I don't think any way.
Or there'd be a heavy tax on it. We're not just getting player for player.
You're paying more.
Yeah.
Just because it's the Lakers.
I'm willing to do it, but I'm more interested in playing the long game and trying to freeze them out of bigs and jar Luka loose.
I think that's fair.
You know, I'm already talking to his agent about what's coming up in 2028. But if I feel like they're gonna get another big and it's like another big or Gafford and they're willing to overpay a little bit because Luka and Gafford have established chemistry.
I mean, from everything we're hearing, Luka doesn't seem too happy. And Dallas, they're on the clock. They've been on the clock for a year and they've done nothing substantial. They extended Austin Reeves today, which is, I mean, if you're Luka, you're going, okay, I got a running mate that doesn't play defense. I had Kyrie, and I have Austin Reeves. Obviously, Kyrie being on the higher end of that. So what's the difference? I don't have a big. I don't have.
I don't have LeBron right now.
Yeah, so
I just don't think the Lakers have any basketball IQ when it comes to roster building. I would have no faith that we can make this team a contender right now.
If you're the Lakers, yeah. It's tough over there. I hope he comes back. Let's do it. Kyrie goes to coach. Luka comes back. 2028.
Kyrie's on the bench.
Kyrie's on the bench.
What do you think of having a Michigan coach and then letting him take whatever player that he wants? Is that a good idea? Or, you know, kind of worked for Jimmy with all those extra draft picks 35 years ago.
That's
what you're hoping for.
You're preaching the CA choir right there because that's the example he used yesterday. I mean,
he had the pick of the litter. He had all three, Fred, right in front of him.
Well,
Lindenberg, Mara,
we've
Morez.
Got some audio. He thought very highly, like, of all the three, there's a reason why he took Rez first. Like, he thinks higher of him than he does Mara and if he does of Lindenberg. Apparently, he was trying to get Morez to come back to Michigan this past season, right? Because that's how much he thinks of him. And then there's a clip of him saying that, you know, the difference when they would break down scouting reports, you know, at the end of the day, they said, look, we got Rez and you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, he thinks very, very highly of him. And, you know, look, I kind of compared it last night and, you know, some of you old enough to remember this. I mean, you need that. Every championship team has that big that does a little bit of everything, right? I mean, I compared him to Draymond Green. Could he be your Draymond Green for the next decade, but with a little bit better and a little more upside, maybe not a psychopath, right? And so, I mean, look, I don't know that Golden State wins as much as they do without Draymond.
No, I mean, we could say what we want. Yeah, he had his role.
You probably don't. The Cavs probably don't come back 3-1 if Draymond isn't suspended for a couple of those games in that series. So,
do you see him having the playmaking of Draymond?
That's what I was going to point to. The playmaking.
Look, there's a reason why. I mean, the whole thing about Dusty May is he goes through his bigs, right? And so obviously, Mara was a big part of that last year. I think he averaged like 3 assists, 7 rebounds, 13 points. This is a guy that shot 61% from free throw line his freshman year, shot 78% last year. I think he hit like 70% of his threes when he was in the combine. So, look, the one thing we know about the NBA is you can develop a shot, okay? Like, we're not asking this guy to come in and be Steph Curry, all right? All we're asking is, okay, can you be a double-double guy? He's a high-motor guy, and oh, by the way, he can guard 4 different positions on the floor, all right? Those guys are hard to come by, okay? And oh, by the way, you pull the string and, hey, go wreak havoc for 48 minutes. I mean, those guys are few and far between. So you're telling me I got a guy who is, okay, mucking it up, being that guy, he can clean things up. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
If he's Isaiah Stewart, is that a win at 9th overall?
I think I think that's the floor for him. I mean, look, there's also people saying he's Bam Adebayo and Al Horford. Okay, and again, guess what? Al Horford wasn't knocking down threes the way he has, you know, his first 5 years in the league. So, you know, I'm okay with we brought Dusty May in for a reason. He knows what this guy brings to the table. He's very comfortable and knows Cooper Flagg. They played together in AAU. They're the exact same age, all right? He was Mr. Basketball at Illinois. Brad Underwood called him the best off-ball rebounder he's ever had, okay? And Brad Underwood obviously knows a thing or two about basketball. So I think when it's all said and done, yes, maybe he's not the 20-10 guy that you were hoping for, but what were you going to get at 9?
No, I think they played it perfectly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like you had – I mean, you don't – it wasn't like somebody was sliding. It wasn't like Mikel Brown or Darius Acuff was sitting there staring you at 9, and you said, you know what, let's go ahead and take Merez Johnson Jr. instead. So, you know, and oh, by the way, Sergio De La Rea looks like he might be coming over here when it's all said and done anyway. You got a 6'5", 200-pound playmaker, shoots 35% from behind the arc, can make plays, and just won a championship over in Spain. So – you could do a lot worse.
Would you have gone with Burries?
No.
Your guy?
My guy was, my guy was Acuff, but obviously he got taken by the Kings, and then I was hoping for Kingston Fleming at 9. Both got taken right before the Mavs. Burries to me just profiles more as a role player. Like he profiles as a
Burries.
He thinks Burries can be a lead guard and an all-star. I don't. I think Burries is Derek White at his absolute peak. Like if he Burries does everything correct, he's Derek White. I don't know if he'll get to that point. I mean, I feel like you kind of have him on the roster and a Max Christie, a guy who's 3-and-D can take on the pick and roll every once in a while. He's a play finisher. He's a transition guy, not a point guard Kyrie Irving replacement. So I had no problem with him taking Merez Johnson over Burries. I think you were in a bad spot. The real takeaway for me of this is the bad coaching job that the Mavs did last year to put themselves at the 9th overall pick rather than having a top 5 pick.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All righty, what's coming up?
Look, it's a Wednesday. Obviously, we'll recap. You got second round of the draft. We've got Brandon Laurie from Blogging the Boys at 7:40. And then, of course, Caleb Downs talking about it. Plenty of audio. And it's a haiku hump day as well.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control here. 75-635. Just went 5 flawless. Like it's nothing. Could have breaking news tonight. I feel like with everything going on with the Mavs, got to have some kind of action. And you should tune in to Fan After Dark here with Fred and Blake. They'll break it all down for you. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation at ease.